Welcome to Minute Impossible. It's hump day. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise one minute at a time. I'm your hump, Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm not Liz.
I'm Rob.
Hey, not Liz and Rob are back.
As always.
It's hump day, and if you choose to accept this mission, there's something stuck to that wall over there for you.
Yep.
Magnetically sealed.
Run at it. Just run backwards as fast as you can.
Yep. Although you
and
okay,
relax.
You only get like a little bit of time on it. You want to get off of it before, well, let's just say in a few minutes, less than a minute, you don't want to be there. But until then, no. Go crazy.
Yeah, because it vibrates while it's waiting.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
And then no? It vibrates terminally.
This minute begins with creepy Bilbo Baggins. I know it's not Ian Holm. I know he just died, but
yeah.
He looks kind of like him.
Poor timing.
He's got that poor timing. Ian Holm's dead. My favorite porn star is going to jail.
Yeah, this guy's head and face kind of looks like an IMF mask that didn't make the cut.
Yeah,
like they're
exactly.
Like, oh,
it looks
will,
like
this
quite
okay.
Slightly unformed.
Yeah, it's yeah, it's very round. He's an egg. He's an Eggman.
Like, oh, this mask, no one's going to fall for this.
He looks like a changeling that sucks at it.
And the end, we see the dread Oral Roberts. It may not make it through the scene.
Henshaby
may not make it through the scene. So that's the minute.
This minute is very much called explosions.
It's nothing
but
it explosions. Explosion.
All right.
Just what happens if you hang out on that butt plug too long.
So this isn't my bone picking, but this is another J.J. Abrams issue I have.
Okay. We're on it right early.
You keep teasing the bone picking, but you never get to the meat.
This is good podcasting.
Edging.
Show me that bone.
This
edging.
Scene to me is a good example of J.J. Abrams issues.
Okay.
So I talked about it being at night versus being in the day is a problem. And I think a lot of that is, as you guys have discussed, like he comes from TV and shooting at night is a way to like, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but you could do stuff
cheaper,
right? You know,
yeah, you can also get
easier.
Away with more digital effects and stuff that, you know, hide.
Yep.
It hides better.
Yep. So this scene is like, imagine this scene that we've watching, but without Luther's trackball guns. Isn't it better if there weren't just explosions and shooting? Like, JJ always adds too much stuff. Like, he never trusts
I agree.
What he does to just be like, hey, you know what's pretty cool? These agents are trying to break into this heavily fortified Jägermeister plant and mm-hmm. steal this
steal this real sex doll.
And they're going to get out of there and they have to
it's a real doll, not a real sex doll. Real sex doll would be a doll that was made from the HBO series Real Sex, which we all loved back in the late
90s. Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Hashtag Isabella Soprano.
So, like, this sequence would be so much more interesting. This scene would be so much more interesting and tense if it was just them doing the mission. Like, the adding explosions in the Logitech trackball.
I think that's like a lump cut viewpoint. I like the explosions.
Yeah, I like them too.
I like it when it's coming
like,
in.
Get to
I like the
business.
Trackballs. I like the glass exploding. I like the chaos it ensues. It definitely shows people operating under pressure, but controlled
pressure.
It makes
me feel like it also gives Luther something.
Yeah, otherwise you just sit in the van jerking it.
I think
what I wrote was, did Luther program the guns to seek the heat signatures, or is he manually hitting those red button balls to shoot these
well,
people.
Well, what you see what happened is Ethan called in a kill streak.
He did.
Oh.
Targeted kill streak.
Cluster bomb.
Chris, I can't believe this is a time where you and I are in agreement.
No, I agree. I mean, it's too much. And I think he does that as a whole with a lot of his
films.
And, I mean, there's a point. To me, the biggest problem I have with J.J. Abrams is the flip-flop sort of nature of him. Like, at one point, he's really good at what he's doing. And then it goes back to like lowest common denominator sort of stuff, like he's just trying to be right or trying to prove a point or something. Unfortunately,
yeah, Chris. Well, I think you're short.
Hey, JJ.
You're short. You don't
shut up.
I have twice as many kidneys as you.
That's
take that.
True. That's true. But I got twice as much taste as you.
Whoa. All right. Well,
that's because not having kidneys enhances your other senses.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm like Daredevil over here.
The Daredevil origin story.
Yep.
Don't talk about it. It's because he got his kidneys removed.
I'm COVID free because of it, dude.
Mm-hmm.
keep that
COVID
blood
goes
purge.
To your kidneys?
No, no, I'm on the hydroxychloroquine. So I don't
That's not good. Don't do that.
It's all I have to is for the lupus. It. My lupus makes me take it. So.
Oh, really? Yeah. Your lupus makes you take it?
Yeah, it's part of lupus. It's lupus part of your lupus regimen.
Oh, my God. When did you get lupus?
In 2005.
I thought
what's happening?
That's what caused the kidney disease.
Ah. It really is an origin story episode. It is. We're finding out a lot. And also, I was also bitten by a spider.
Yeah, but that's not important.
My parents shot me to this planet from...
And then they were killed on the way home from the theater. It was just amazing.
From the opera.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't know that.
And then I'm
that
also live under an opera, and I've got to wear a mask. It's just the whole thing, you know.
So your arch enemy is lupus.
Lupus, exactly. Your arch enemy is lupus. But no. What I was saying was that to me, it's like, you know, he flip-flops back and forth because like, it's like he made Force Awakens, and then it's like, oh, yeah, no, great. Let's hand it off to somebody else because I don't want to do all the hard work. But then when somebody else did it better, he's like, oh, no, I'm coming back. I'm going to prove myself now and fucking drop the ball. No offense.
So, all right. So now we're on.
Did you just say drop the
ball?
Yes,
I did.
Yeah. Sorry, ball. No offense.
Sorry, ball. No offense to the ball.
Well, I take offense.
You should. Crawl over it.
So, all right. So let's get to bone picking time then.
Oh, well, hold on before you
bone picking. All right, let's wait. Let's tease it. Tease.
Because you guys were saying there's too much.
Keep edging.
Of this.
Keep edging.
Yep.
I think this is fine. Like, I'm fine with the guns. What I'm not fine with are the tiny infrared glasses that he wears. Those things make me angry. Like, you would put on a pair. Okay. For those of you that haven't watched this scene or watching and listening to us, one, sorry. Two, you know those glasses that you always see people put on to get into a tanning bed?
Yeah.
That's what the glass is. It looks like he's wearing tiny little swimming goggles.
Well, yeah. You know, he's...
Why would you close your field of view?
He's putting them on so that he doesn't get blinded by the flashes from the explosions at night.
No, it's night... If anything, he's going to be blinded more from it.
No, it's not night vision. It never shows a night vision shot. He just puts them on...
Then why are they red?
To filter... Red light's easier to see in.
I here's my take on the glasses. I don't think they're cool, but everything looks super cool on Tom Cruise, so they are kind
of
cool.
I agree with that. And I mean, you know, and there's moments in this movie and moments of all of J.J. Abrams' movies that I'm like, oh, this is a really great moment. Let's go more that way. And other moments, I'm just like, this is too much. And this whole sequence here, and the sequence that's coming up with the helicopter and the windmills that's in the next couple minutes later, I just found this whole sequence boring to me. It's like, you're trying too hard, dude. Just
let it breathe. Let it breathe.
Let me breathe. Let me see something.
And a wind turbine field at night is a cool visual, but not very safe as far as, like, you know, proper flight execution.
And it's not really a cool visual either because you can't really see what's going on because he's moving the camera too much.
If I were flying in a chopper in war zone, I would never go through a wind
turbine. Not Billy had to go to where the helicopters live. That's where they mate. Those are their that is the
we had to have Irish Springle over there now. It's just great, you know.
Not Billy. He's not Billy. Not Billy.
He does nothing but copy.
Yeah, when I do not. Yeah, what is it? He's like, when do I not copy?
All I do is copy. Bad writing alert. Bad writing alert.
No, it's so said mad? Under his breath, so it's fine.
Yeah, I will say this: Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. Why didn't he be a? Why wasn't he a bigger thing? He feels like he should be.
He's a great.
He needed the money, I guess.
He was in the Tudors and kind of crushed it. That was his biggest.
Yeah,
he's
a good actor. He's done great in other work.
Yeah, he did the Threeders, and nobody liked him.
Also,
but he came back in the Forders.
It was the O'Neaters that really made it for him, though.
I think I know him best in Match Point. He's really good in Match Point.
Yeah, he is.
He seems like a good actor. He's got a distinct look. Plus, he's good looking. Like, it's just weird.
What happened? Cillian Murphy came around.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's better, more distinct.
And plays better. Yeah.
Only two names.
Yeah.
Just
even though you can't
say.
Pronounce either one of them. Oh, the first one definitely.
Well, some people call it Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. Some people call it Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. It just depends on what part of the country
Reese's
you grew
pieces.
Up.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just had this argument with my wife tonight. I handed her some Reese's Pieces that I had one. I found them on the top of the fridge. I was like, hey, look, I found some candy.
Yeah.
And I handed her some. And she goes, these are Reese's.
Oh.
I go, you mean Reese's.
Reese's.
I go, they're Reese's Pieces, not Reese's Pieces.
Yep. It's Reese's. I know people who call it Reese's. They're wrong.
Reese's like the monkeys.
Right.
If Elliot and E.T. call it Reese's Pieces, that's what it is.
It's like when you go out to play in the middle of a school day. That's
recess.
Aren't we saying the same thing?
Reese's.
Recess.
Yes. Pieces. Bagel and bagel. Same thing.
Oh, all they do is copy.
All right, so
yes, that's what happened to Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. Cillian Murphy came around and took all his
parts. That's a good take. I like that. It's a good idea.
I'm actually on, and I want to know what they happened to these two characters in this movie. He and Maggie Q are great, and I cannot remember their names in this movie. I mean, I know their real names, but I cannot remember. I did not know Maggie Q. I famously said I did not remember she was in this movie.
I think she's so forgettable.
Zuzu.
And that's not her fault.
No, because basically Paula Patton plays the same part in the next movie.
Then Declan McManus. Yeah.
I will say this.
Are you just yelling out names?
No, that's
are
actually
these their real names?
That's actually Reese's Pieces. Elvis Costello's real name, but
okay.
His spy name is Elvis Costello.
Yeah.
I think they were the collateral damage of a script that was needing to be redone real quick before writer's strike.
I don't need to wait. Yeah, I don't need to wait until the next one to tell you. Yeah. There are scenes cut from this movie of Maggie Q fighting in this.
Oh yeah,
and I love her. Like
her, because she gets from the basement to like the third floor in like 2 minutes. Yeah. I was like, well,
and also what? Like straight up, just from a viewer point, fewer people in Hollywood handle weapons better than Maggie Q does.
Yeah,
I agree. She looks like she knows what she's doing. She doesn't look like she's just handed this MP5 and like, okay, go shoot something. She's like studied. She's trained. She knows what she's doing with these things. And I love that little nod to realism.
Well, I mean, I think that they also, you know, the films as a whole, the series got better at dealing with their secondary characters than they did at this point, because they were still dealing with Tom Cruise as...
Why don't you tell me more about that, Chris? I've been in a van for 6 movies.
All I do is move these trackballs around.
Exactly.
Well, they gave me my big moment. I'm still at my desk.
They stopped bringing
in... To be fair, my legs stopped working.
Yeah, exactly. They start, and the new people they do bring in... They keep around now. You
yeah.
Know,
so, like, Rebecca Ferguson movie. Comes in and is going to be in, like, all the movies.
Simon Pegg, same thing.
Simon Pegg, like, he shows up at this one and he's in all the next ones. Even
Luther's
character.
Luther has
up,
more to do in the
be
other
recurring.
Ones, too. I mean, you know, he's got more to do in 5 and 6, you know?
That said, I got some bones that are related to this.
Let's go.
Are these the bones?
Are we
going to
finally
get
any bones?
Yeah, we're going to get these bones.
The chicken bones?
First off, Jonathan, Chris, I'm really enjoying the show so far. Chris, I appreciate your...
Not the taping that we're doing right now, but
no,
actually listening
to
the show.
No, these episodes are trash. Just skip through them. Chris, I appreciate the industry background you give to stuff. Jonathan, you are an excellent main MC on a show, pushing things forward. It's wonderful. You've had great guests so far.
Chris, he's going to kill us.
But
I'm here for it.
This is a villain monologue.
These takes early on have been real bad, and I've found myself angry listening to them. Now, this movie, as we've talked about, especially with J.J. Abrams, is far from great, but it's not bad. I think it's actually a pretty good movie.
We didn't say it was bad.
As someone who has recently listened to every episode you put out,
I say it's bad compared to. I like two better, so this is my least favorite one. So I'll admit that.
The general consensus is you're not. And here's the thing: like, I like this one way more than two.
Oh, it's
Wait,
not even
general
close.
Consensus. Is he a character in this show, movie?
Yeah, he's one of the uppity ups at the IMF.
Okay, and
defund him.
Defund that guy.
J.J. Abrams mostly sucks. I agree, but he mostly sucks only because. Of, like, how many opportunities... He sucks compared to the opportunities he keeps getting. Like, he's
Era,
not...
you suck!
He's not a bad... He's not, like, a bad filmmaker. Like,
he's one of those white people... White men falling upwards.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, he's not, like, an actively bad filmmaker.
Hey, that's my brand.
Yeah.
I know.
But he, like, keeps getting these giant franchises. And I actually think this is probably his second best movie, which isn't saying a ton.
What's his first?
You mean after, like, is it The Force Awakens?
I would say Force Awakens is his best.
I would, too.
I would say Force Awakens is his best.
I don't know.
Movie,
I don't,
Star
here,
Trek.
My only issue with handing
like,
him...
Yeah, Star Trek. Trek is really 2009 Star
my
Trek is
my only issue with
is
handing him the Star Wars, like, trophy is because he's building it on so much established material.
Yeah, I agree.
Sure.
Yeah, but but I mean, still, like, I don't want this to turn into, like, a Force Awakens.
I feel
thing.
Like he did more with the Star Trek.
Yeah, I agree.
Honestly.
I think Star
I
Trek
really
is
like he,
is,
did
he did more originally with it than he did with Star
because
Wars.
There, because he had, I mean, it was the first time he did it. He was like, look, we have all this bad stuff in the background. We have all this baggage. from the history. What do we do?
Nah, I'm surprised he didn't try to set up an alternate timeline for The Force Awakens.
See,
well, no, he had the perfect opportunity, I thought, in that he had completely new characters to deal with.
With Robert Okra.
And no matter what, I'll always resent the fact that he never gave us the original three trilogy actors together in one scene together. That's all I asked for. That's all I wanted. But no, you have to separate them. Thanks, guy.
Well, I mean, that's on Carrie Fisher, really, right?
No, he could have put them all together in the first movie.
I blame her. Come on.
I think the thing that Force Awakens, which has issues with Force Awakens, my quick Force Awakens thing is I think the first act is...
Are we still in the bone?
Yeah,
the bone?
We're getting there, but you got me off, you know...
Wait, we're getting there?
We're getting the meat off the bone.
We're getting to the marrow. You guys got me off track. Force Awakens, the first act, is as good as Star Wars can be, I would say. And it also is very, very good at introducing a bunch of new characters who are interesting and awesome to new people, which Star Trek does not. It's just like, what if the characters again? So
get to the bone.
Okay. My bone is this. You guys are way too harsh on this movie. It's a good movie. And the thing that's really making me mad, is there seems to be some Philip Seymour Hoffman hate. And it's unfathomable. All I can think of when I hear you guys say it is, are they the dumbest people I've ever heard? Because I just cannot believe you're trashing... One of the best actors
in the last 20 years.
One of the best actors to die in the past 10 years. Yeah.
I would
give him that.
I would say dead or alive, one of the best.
Well, I mean, I think
you're coming with
my
me.
Biggest problem with him in this movie is that he's just doing the syndrome act from
this is the, and to me, this is his third best movie.
Yeah.
For your Mr. You know, he's the best actor.
You think this is Philip Seymour Hoffman's third best movie?
Yeah,
I think it's one of his worst ones.
Roll.
Boy.
Not movie.
Anyways,
roll.
That's dumb too. But I just got even more mad. The thing I love about this movie, the thing that keeps me from overlooking like J.J. Abrams JJing all over the place in like the dumb domestic scenes is Philip Seymour Hoffman is far and away the best villain this franchise has ever had.
I'm gonna make sure that the other six episodes that you are contracted for, you will never have Philip Seymour Hoffman in them. Not once. Every scene you do will not have it.
Also,
it will only be domestic.
Also,
it'll be the wedding in the hospital.
I hate you.
And it'll be the credits.
Also,
and the credits.
Also. Also, this is another crime. You guys haven't brought up Magnolia, and I think that's a crime because that came out in 1999, and that's Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, I think I mentioned it earlier. I said I think that's why he's in this movie is because of Magnolia.
Oh, I fast forward.
Where's
to
the
that.
Frogs?
Oh, well, then your bone is thrown back at you.
Well, I'm just saying that, like, you know,
bite my thumb at thee.
That sequence that they're in is awesome and iconic. I would even say. And Philip Seymour Hoffman owns, and Dave Pallas is throwing dead drug jokes about him. Listen, it's not fair.
Whatever Dave Pallas says is not on us. That's on Dave.
Robin came on and was like, hey, I met him. He was a really cool guy. You guys had nothing to say.
Cool.
Leave Philip Seymour Hoffman alone. He's one of the greatest actors of our
lifetime.
He's better in Along Came Polly.
Listen. That's what makes Philip Seymour Hoffman so amazing, is he could be in a trash movie like Along Came Polly and have some of the most hilarious pratfalls
of all
time.
He's awesome in that movie.
And then be an awesome villain in this movie.
He's awesome in Twister.
And then be the guy he is in Boogie Nights. And then, like, it's amazing. He's amazing.
Yeah, he is.
He's not amazing in this movie.
We have said
that he is working at a four.
No.
He is not being
He's
kind of
sleepwalking through it.
No,
you know the way Chris does with this podcast. He is
Chris
sleeping
is the Philip Seymour Hoffman of the MI3 franchise.
Where's the rabbit's foot?
No.
If anyway, this season is his third best.
Exactly. this is my third best season. It may even be my fourth best season. I haven't even done the other ones yet. So, at the end of the day, this will be my sixth best season of the MI podcast.
But the good thing is, at the end of the season, we will have cured lupus.
Exactly.
So everyone, please keep giving to the Patreon because that's what we're doing.
And
we are curing lupus
one person
at a time.
Since you're not going to give me any PSH minutes, I'm going to say one thing why I love him as a villain in this movie. It is because he perfectly captures a person I hate, like not like a an actual individual, but anyone
yourself.
Like who's been in higher education or really in any like office environment can understand when you're in a meeting, usually a lot of people, and there's someone who, you know, speaks up, and the way they speak and the way their cadence is as if like every word in sentence is so important that it's like just the mental effort to get it out of their brain they want to show you is such so straining that they have to like, it's like this arrogance on everything they say. Like it's like, you know, and then they kind of like each word gets parsed out and you listen to them and they just drive you crazy. To me, that's what PSH is in this movie as.
I have a guy like that at my work and it drives me nuts.
Yeah, you're just like, it's not hard.
Is it up top? Is it up top body?
In meetings, in Zoom meetings with this person, I have actually done this movement because they're literally going, but we should try. And it's like, holy shit, man. Yeah.
Up top, buddy.
Get to it.
That's what PSH is like in this movie, I feel like. He's sort of that, like, right. I'm such a brilliant guy that it's too bad that I have to even, like, slow down to tell you these things.
See, I don't buy him as that guy, which is sad.
Yeah.
No, I see it. I definitely see it. He definitely feels like he's the smartest guy in the room when he's on screen.
I think he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room.
No, he did.
He keeps getting second bested.
That's the difference between being the smartest guy and thinking you're the smartest guy. The one who thinks they're the smartest guy has to act like it, and they're the ones who always wind up getting, you know, blown up or dropped out of an airplane.
Or lupus.
They're the ones who don't act like it. They're the ones that, that wind up getting the best of everybody.
Because he's really just being used by Dr. Manhattan, or Captain Manhattan, as somebody said.
I called him Captain
Manhattan.
Ridiculous. No pun intended.
All right. I'm sorry.
Ridiculous.
That took a long time, but I had these bones. I had to pick them.
That was a pretty good bone. Everything you said is unfounded and will be cut from the movie from this episode.
Thank you for talking about your boners.
It's just bleeps. It's just bleep, 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 bleep.
Please keep the time you said this was the third best role of Philip Seymour Hoffman's career.
Yeah. Speaking of someone who thinks they're the smartest person in the room, you need to understand that he's not a grand slam in every movie he's in. He's really good in most of the movies that he's in. Like, he's the best part of I mean, I can't name 10 of his movies right this second, but he is the best part of them. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying in this movie, he's just doing a thing, and whatever that thing is, it's not his normal thing.
He doesn't have a normal thing, which is why he's such a good damn actor.
But he kind of does have a normal thing.
He has a normal thing. No. There's a Philip Seymour Hoffman type that people are still trying to cast for. Who do you think is a Philip Seymour Hoffman now? Who do you think the new Philip Seymour Hoffman is?
There isn't one. That's why he's so good.
There has to be someone that could take up that mantle to play these roles. It's not Patton Oswalt.
No.
Who is it?
You can't just be like, where are some chubby white men?
I think.
Sure you can.
I think Mark Ruffalo has that vibe, but with more humor.
I like Mark Ruffalo.
He does
though.
Sort of like the sort of like vaguely, slightly befuddled, but still on it.
Sometimes
kind of
in a movie, I feel like he's like very sleepy. So yeah, he does have the Hoffman-esque.
Even Joaquin Phoenix has the same sort of like low key energy in some movies and other movies.
I would.
That's
actually
why
say
I think they worked
Phoenix,
well together in The Master. You know,
I would say Joaquin Phoenix is actually a pretty good comparison as a guy who can like masterfully be like a supporting actor in a movie and be fine, but also is good enough to be a lead and pull it off.
So here's my thing with him is like, he does have that vibe, but he's trying for the Daniel Day-Lewis thing. And so that effort to push to like, I can do anything. I just need to have like 6 months to live in a coffin and grow a beard kind of vibe in order to like,
but that's Joaquin to me. I don't get that from PSH. PSH has never been like,
he's just living in a coffin now.
He's got like that sort of like laid back, like, I can do this, I can be this, but I want to be this instead.
Like, I feel like Philip Seymour Hoffman sits quietly in his house. Well, when he was alive, sat quietly in his house and worked on his character in his mind.
Yeah.
And did not need to, sit in a coffin or do whatever, you know, be part of the thing. He's just a cerebral guy that just did, you know, he's like, I'm going to come in here and just do this part, and I'm going to wear a funny little outfit, or I'll wear something that looks different and just be.
And every now and then I'm going to yell a number.
7!
Yeah, I think acting is a craft for him, but I don't think it's like method acting where it's like,
no.
It's like, I'm just going to be an asshole and I can get away with it because I'm a
no,
man.
No, no one ever said he was an asshole.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, there's like a certain Hollywood type of, like, men who get away with that because they're men. But if a woman were to ever do that in their career's done. You can't do that. You're That's a diva, true. And you're done.
Yeah.
All right, we solved that issue.
All right, well, let's go to Tech of the App then. Rob, why don't you take us in there?
What do I got to do today? Just say I'm here or Tech of the App?
No, you can come up with a fun segue to get us there.
Oh, okay. Jesus, I wasn't even ready
it's
for Tech
hard.
Of the App. Yeah, give me a minute here.
Every second you take is more time Jonathan actually has to consider editing. I'm not saying he's going to do it. I'm saying he's got to consider it.
My editing's at a 4 right now, okay?
Your editing is a solid Chris.
Yeah, I agree.
Why don't we go over into this room of all the trophies that Philip Seymour Hoffman has won and do our Tech of the App.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's Awards, I
the
think.
One, the ones
right
that he sold for his drugs?
Listen, oh. Dude. Listen, man. This isn't... He had, like, mental health issues and addiction. Like, it's not a funny thing.
But lupus is?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you're alive.
Oh.
Barely.
Technically.
You should have
no,
Chris.
Technically.
Yeah.
I have to
and
go
you
to
would
a,
not
I have to
have
go
said
to a center
jokes.
3 days a week to stay alive. Let's put it that way.
And I'm saying these to your face. You wouldn't have said it to Phil.
I would have said it to his face.
Nah.
It's hard to get around there. It's so big.
It's such a large head.
Yeah, huge head. All right, we're in Tech of the App. Can you feel it?
Oh, yeah.
I feel it. I feel,
feel the heat.
I feel all the shade from all of these statues I'm looking at in this room. It's literally like the room at the end of Last Crusade.
So much plated gold.
So much gold.
Choose the right one.
Pick the real reward. And that'll be the
rabbit's
foot. One
will give me everlasting whatever.
One will be the rabbit's foot.
One's the rabbit's foot.
The rabbit's foot.
Oh, yeah. Do your best, Philip Seymour Hoffman, since you think he's a great actor. We were doing it like under the shade of he's being lazy. He's kind of mumbling his lines. Well, where's rabbit foot? You know, we were kind where's of rabbit mocking rabbit it. Can you? Where's well, let's hear you, Rob.
So one of my favorite characters, actually one of my favorite movies of all time, but one of my favorite characters of all time, and it's actually where my we talk about Call of Duty on Monday, but one of our my screen name is from is he is in Punch Drunk Love as Dean Trumbull, and he's the mattress man is what he's called in it, and he's in that movie for barely any amount of time.
And he's 100 times better in that than he is in this.
Yeah, I mean, but also he's working with a talented director.
That's true.
Ba-dum, which, boom, shh, you just gave us our cell phone on J.J. Abrams here.
Which matters. But there's a part in that movie where he's on the phone with Adam Sandler's character, and Adam Sandler like tells him to F off. And he's just like, he's like, what'd you say? Listen here. Shut up! And I lose it every time. I lose it every time. That's my best I can do. I can't do it.
Do you think that was one take?
Yeah.
No. No. He also has that commercial I'll post it in the IMF that he did in that movie where he's like on top of a car doing like a he's on top of a truck doing a like a mattress man commercial, and then he jumps off the truck onto the mattresses and he's supposed to stay there and he like bounces off and it's amazing. I'll share it with the IMF. I love Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He does.
We can tell.
Yeah.
We can tell. Well, pick a tech of the app.
I'm going with Luther's Logitech trackballs.
That
he
was
has
mine.
In this
I wanted his track nubbins.
Yeah, we had those last week too, well, but it's okay.
Luckily, there's a trackball for each of us. That is
oh, yeah.
In that
there's
band.
So many. And he's like swirling them like a DJ and like firing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
As I said last week, those things pinch your fingers because you get your little finger stuck
Not
in the
Not if
little...
you're good.
No.
Who uses those?
No, I used to.
Why?
I thought it would make my hand hurt less. It did not. No. It made it hurt more.
No. Were you sitting on like one of those like office balls while you were doing it?
No.
He had to keep a strong core, Rob.
Yeah.
Chris, what about you?
I'm going with the little clicker that Ethan uses to set up the bombs. Yep. I love those little things. And no matter what movie they're in, whenever somebody's got something like that, I always think it's cool.
I'm going to go with, I don't like them, but the little glasses. The little shockproof glasses. That you're right. They do look cool. They're just not practical.
They're practical if you understand. Don't want to be blinded by a bunch of bright explosions, which happened immediately when he puts them on.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is flashbanged, and he's like, pops them off like, MP5.
And then at the end, he jumps in the pool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And swims away.
How about you, George?
I mean, trackballs were my first win, but I say my secondary one would be Maggie Q with an MP5. Mm-hmm. That is a marriage mm-hmm. of art and science.
All right. So a lot of the secondary players getting a lot of love tonight from Robert.
Yeah, you know, I brought some positivity to this podcast.
Thanks, man.
This minute will self-destruct.
No. Oh, I thought you were going to say goodbye, everybody.
He was getting geared up.
Oh, my God. He just said, let's...
All right, cut we're done. To it, man.
He was hanging in his coffin waiting for his moment.
Exactly.
Yeah, all right.
I'm getting into my podcaster thing.
See you next time on the show. It's